give Moshe Rabbeinu a chance to consolidate the information that Baruch Hu was giving. Right? That's what the Gemara says, that if Moshe Rabbeinu needed time to absorb halacha, halachas kama v'kama, anybody less than Moshe Rabbeinu needs time to absorb halachas. Right? Because Baruch Hu stopped every so often to give Moshe Rabbeinu time. It's also, when you, that Rashi is very, very instructive, because sometimes you find one pasuk parshas, right, in the middle of, you find numerous in the Aroyas. So it means there must be so much going on in each pasuk that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to stop. We zip through it because it seems sounds repetitive. But you can imagine if HaKadosh Baruch Hu stopped for Moshe Rabbeinu to give him time to absorb what that one pasuk, can you imagine how many halachas are going on in that pasuk? So Reb Chaim Shulevitz says, so what's going on over here? That you have a whole parsha and Moshe Rabbeinu didn't need any time to absorb any parsha over here. So he says a tremendous word. He says, "Vayetze is the parsha of Yaakov Avinu's Golus. He leaves for Golus at the very beginning, and he comes back to Eretz Yisrael at the very end." Correct? So he says that Golus is something that one cannot understand or absorb in any way until you see the whole thing. Because Baruch Hu was telling to Moshe Rabbeinu, "I'm not going to stop over here, because you can't understand the details of Golos until you see the whole thing from beginning to end. At the end, when the Golos is all over, then you'll be able to make some sense out of it." This man's hard. Okay, what should we do, and which one should we do? A lot of interesting about. Very Ramban alludes to Radak. Very important for the married fellows, to be married fellows. But it says that Yaakov Avinu says that Leah felt she was a senua, right? So how are you talking that Yaakov would hate anybody? That Yaakov would hate his wife? That's not so clear. But it says, Vayar Hashem ki snu aleya, right? And Vatar ol v'telad ben v'termek ki shoma Hashem ki snu anoichi. But that's not what it says in Chumash. It says Vayov v'igam el Rachel v'yev gam es Rachel mileya. So what's going on? The Chumash says that he loved both. He loved Rachel more. And then the next pasuk of the Shem saw that Leah was snua. She wasn't snua. She was loved a little bit less. No, she fooled her husband into marrying her. So what do you think expect? She's supposed to be loved as much as Rachel. He didn't want to marry her. So the Radak, the Ramban quotes, the Radak says, he says that if a woman feels less loved, she feels snua. If a woman feels that she's not the center of her husband's life, then she feels snua. Yaakov did not hate Leah. Yaakov wasn't capable of hating. Look how long he put up with her alone. Right? So Yaakov didn't hate Leah. He understood, and so. He should have been as angry with Rachel as with Leah. Rachel gave up the simonim. Right? So they're both in cahoots against him. So it says the Radak, no, snua means, that's why it says in Kisetzi, ha'achas ha'hua, his two wives. Ha'achas u'ma'achas snua. So, love Davka, maybe ha'achas ha'hua, and the second was ha'hua. Right? So I said, one has to be hated. The pshat is that when it comes to a relationship, it depends what you expect. So if I have 10 friends, so my 10 friends, each one doesn't expect that they're close to the other one. I have 10 friends. But husband and wife, if a wife isn't made to feel that she is central to her husband's life, then she feels snoo. There's no range. because the expectation of husband and wife is to be so close that the moment there's any kind of distance, you have to realize she feels that she's a snua. I think Rabbi Mordechai Kohn told me, I think he told me that in certain, in Gemara, a second wife is called a tzara. So I think he told me that in Bizman HaTanach, in certain countries, a second wife was called the snua. Right? That's why ha'achas ahu ha'achas snua means there was wife one and wife two. Right? That's what we would say. But the Mr. Askel is still there. The Radak is still here. Rav Mordechai Kohn's aura, it just supports what the Radak is saying. Yeah, and the Rabban quotes that. Okay, let's look at... What's that? Where he says that. He says it somewhere after Rav Shlishi. It's the last line. It's the last line of the Rabban. Yeah?
Of the
Radak? No, the Rabban is in the last line. You have the Radak there in the Torah line? I think it maybe the best father, that's right. Okay, let's look at the following. This is the Ramban in the beginning of Sheni. Have we done this in previous years? The Ed Reitzon? Was that with the Bear? We did it? Okay. So we'll do... Was that?
I don't remember.
Was that? No, so we'll do the... It's also very, very... We'll do the Tzvila... Of Rachel. Hasach Salkim Anochi. That we do? Then you remember? When Rachel says Hasach Salkim Anochi? Okay, so look at this. Vini Perak Lamed. Paraglan Posagalov. But Tamer Rachel Kila Yodel Yaakov. But the Kani Rachel Bachaisi. But Tamer Yaakov, Homily Bonum. Homily Bonum. Vim Ayin Mesa Noichi. The Torah is pointing out that the Yisurin that Rachel is undergoing. Every woman, if she can't have children, any couple that can't have children is terribly, terribly difficult. And when a couple waits for children, it is very, very trying. And it's very difficult. And every time, if a woman's waiting to have children, so every time she has her period, so that drives home much more so to the woman than to the man. Because the woman knows that she's in the period, when she's expecting her period, she realizes that when the period starts, that she focuses on the period. So each time that means that another chance. And most women, the overwhelming majority of women at most have 12 times a year when it's able to have a child. So when you think about it, when you can count the numbers of times, the numbers of opportunities per year, very often people because of the way medicine has advanced, that we have so much control over these things, so people forget how little control we have over it. It's true we have more control than previous generations by far. The ability to control the period. And now, Baruch Hashem, the numbers of ways of dealing with infertility have grown tremendously. Nevertheless, people forget that we have very little control. And so, a couple only has 12 times a year, at most. So then the Torah said, but it's compounded. It's compounded by Rachel living with a sister who's just having child after child after child. I see this, I see this all the time. I see young couples having trouble having children. So it's one thing when they have trouble having children, but if they live in a neighbor, they live with young couples, and then every Shabbos is the Shalom Zachar, and then there's a bris, and there's So the pain is terrible. It's terrible. So that's what the pasuk is describing. But the kani rochel v'achoisa. That means she was jealous. She probably was jealous. She was jealous. That's natural. And on a higher level, she wanted to be part. That's what Rashi says. She wanted to be part of the Yemois. And she figured Leah was Zoicha and she wasn't Zoicha. And you have to know where she's coming from. She gave up tremendously for her sister. Right? Her sister would have nothing if not for her. Her sister wouldn't be married to Yaakov. Rachel had a... You have to remember the Gevura of Rachel. One plate of spet to Yaakov. Right? And then and she could have justified it through her husband. So one plate of spet to Yaakov and Rachel and Leah would be shunned. So now Leah is becoming the aim shel Yisrael. Right? And child after child after child. So, but the kani Rachel b'chayisa. V'atayimel Yaakov hol v'li bonim. V'im ayin v'isa noichi. So Rashi explains, what was she asking him to do? She was asking him, Misfalo, you're not being Misfalo enough. And she had tremendous, you have to understand this, in all of her pain, she had tremendous, tremendous emuna, and she had tremendous faith in her husband's tefillos. What was she asking for? What could he do? Vayicharaf Yaakov v'Rachel. So Yaakov gets angry with Rachel. It sounds a pella. The wife is suffering. He has children. His wife has no children. So he gets angry at her. What am I supposed to do? And then, Asher mona mimech privata. It's a tell him. How are you talking that Yaakov should say, am I in place the Rebbeinu, Asher mona mimech? Right, so Rashi says, what's mona mimech? Mimech. So I have children. Right? You want me to be like Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu didn't have children. Yitzchak didn't have any children. Avraham's children that he had were from Hagar. Right? I have children. I have four children. So what kind of a shtach is this? It's terrible. My husband would say this to his wife. So she's in terrible, terrible pain. And then he gets angry. He's saying, what can I do? She's asking her to be misfalo. And then to say, to drive it home with such pain, Asher mona mimeich privatim. So those are the kashas. And maybe even if the kashas are not kashas, but certainly if the Torah records it, we've learned something from it, right? Maybe he'll tell me, no, so Yaakov slipped, right? He got frustrated. But if that's all we're learning from it, that Yaakov was frustrated, so why does the Torah bother recording it? So they had a conversation that obviously if this is part of the story, and so much is left out. So Kadosh Baruch Hu wants to draw our attention to this. And the Gemara explains, the Netziv explains that Rachel's intentions over here were all to be part of Klal Yisrael. V'im ayin meisa nochi, she's saying, if I can't have children, my tachlis, what tachlis have? She wasn't simply expressing what every woman would express, that without children, what all parents would feel. Without parents, without children, the parents feel unfulfilled. And for a mother, achas kama v'kama, not to have children. Rachman al-Islam, Rachman al-Islam. So now McDonough is saying, she's saying much more than that. The Torah is not just recording that Rachel was like any other mother. But in Oyin Meisa Noichem means what's the tachlis? I have a tachlis over here. I have a tachlis, Mary Yaakov, to be part of the Yemois of Klal Yisrael. So what's the tachlis? What's my purpose in life if I'm not going to have children? So Magdover explains that that is the Hemshech over here. But Toimri Nei, she says, he says to her, Atachas Lekim Anoichi, Ashamona Meach Privoten. So what's the next pasuk? All right, Mary Billa. Oh, what's the, what's, it's like a piece missing, right? He says to her, "Hasach zlekem adoyichi, Kadosh Baruch Hu held children back from you." She says, "All right, Billa ve'ibone gam adoyichi imena." So Rashi's explanation was that Kadosh Baruch Hu, that Yaakov was saying to Rachel that look at Sarah's sacrifice. Sarah wanted Avram to have so much that for Avram to have children that she took Hagar and gave Hagar to Avram. Sarah was the Ahuva. And she allowed the snua to take the central position. We're just saying, how painful this is for a wife. So look what's happening, that Sarah allowed Hagar into Hagar with a shivcha. So she allows Hagar to be close to Avram and to have children from Avram. So Rachel hears it. She says, if that's the schus that I need, I'll do what Sarah did. So that's pshat. Right, this also sheds light into the whole Hagar and Sarah. Sorry, I don't have time to go into it. The whole issue of Hagar and Sarah, that Sarah was expected that Hagar's children would be her own children. She would have an impact on them. The Kitzur Nimrach, you see, the whole issue of how could Sarah kick out Hagar, right? How could it be that Sarah would impose herself on Hagar? That Hagar said that she was oppressing her. The issue of what's going on over there is in many svarim now that Sarah was expecting that the children of Hagar would be the children that she would train to be part of the Klal Yisrael. So the moment that Hagar was rebelling against Sarah, was simply saying to Sarah, "Look, Sarah, you don't have any children." She was making fun of Sarah. So the moment she was trumping her own position that she's better than Sarah because Baruch Hu gave her children right away. So Sarah realized that her plan wasn't going to happen. Yeah, but not for now. But you see that from this pasuk. V'ibone gam anoichem imena. That Rachel felt that she will have an impact in Klal Yisrael through Bila. Alright, so what does the Ramban say? Havali bonim. Omra meforshim. Shispalel alai. Tispalel alai. Vimayin Mesa no Yachilosh and Rashi. Shemisha in the Bonu Choshokim Mes. Who made her Shabbos Seinu? Vani Toma. Im Kein Lomo Chora Apoim. If that's, why did Yaakov get angry? Veloma Omer Asachas Alekim Anoichi. And why did he say Asachas Alekim Anoichi? She wanted to be a Spalel. Vishemel Tadikim Hashem. That we know that sometimes Kadosh Baruch Hu listens to other, chooses whom he listens to. So it's such a terrible thing. Rachel said, be mispallel for me. It's Rashi's pshat. Be mispallel for me. So he gets angry. Asachas lekim anoichi. Umasha omar. Abba lo yoyu lo yibonim. Ani yesh li bonim. Mimeyach mona. Mimeni lo yibonim. Achi atzadikim. Einu mispallel bien achirim. So what's Yaakov responding over here? And that's pshat. That Rachel was asking Yaakov to daven for. So what kind of an answer is this? You daven. I'm not going to daven for you. Who ever heard of this? Of course, they think you daven for other people. V'nei liyov elishas v'alu v'yad noshim nachriyais. V'nirisha b'shvil zeh tovsura v'yisteinu omru. It's a peladike Ramban. I don't know if it's a fascinating Ramban. Ramban says, Omer v'yishas rabba omer l'kadosh baruch hu. Kach oinen es ha-me'ikois. That the Medrash says that the Ramban Shem took Yaakov to task. He said, this is how you speak to a person in pain? So, because of this, your children will suffer. Because of this, the B'nai Leah will be suffering at the hands of Bnei Rachel. Right? That's an unbelievable medrash. That because of this plate and span of Yaakov Avinu, because he wasn't sensitive to his wife, so therefore there was his children suffered later on. And according to Ramban, Yaakov erred over here. And he, by being frustrated and angry with Rachel, and not being sensitive to the pain, Valderech Hapshat, Omer Rachel Yaakov, that's the meat of being noisy ba'ol chaver. I have to discuss that. That's a whole parsha. It's a whole parsha itself. The meat of being noisy ba'ol chaver, of feeling somebody else's difficulties. Vayitan the Rabban. She says, Valderech Hapshat, Omer Rachel Yaakov, Sheitin Labonim, Ube'emez Daito, Leimar, I think that should be, Leimar, She Yispalel Aleo, Ad Sheitin Labonim, that's the pshat. I'll call upon him. Vim ayin. She tomis atzma bitzar. Dibro shaloiki hoigin. Pikin osa. The choshva ki ba'avosoi oiso yis ane Yaakov. The yilbash sak veifer. The yispal at shiyu lobonim. Shaloi tomis bitzara. So Ramban says, what? Al pi pshutoi. In other words, Yaakov is criticized. That's number one. Al Pipshat, what's happening over here? What gets Yaakov upset? He says, what gets him upset when she says, Vim ayin meisa noichi. What gets him upset is that she's trying to pressure him into davening. The Pshat, what's Pshat? Vim ayin meisa noichi. And if I won't have children, I'm going to die. What's the Pshat when a person says that? Rashi says, it doesn't make any sense. So it must be, you should know that without children, a woman without children is like a dead woman, unfulfilled. Like Chana says, Chana's mispalled to Ribbono Shel Olam. For this, I need to have a body. I need to have a rechem. I need to have shadayim. So what? On purpose, half of my body is meaningless without having children. So Rashi says, but the Ramban says, what's the pshat? Am I in Meisanachin? If not, I am dead. So he says, the pshat is, if not, I'm going to kill myself. I'm going to kill myself out of pain, out of desperation, out of tsar. Why does she say that? She says, so Yaakov understands, Rachel is saying, we would say in the modern terms, I'm going to push his buttons. How am I going to get him to daven for me? He has children already. So I'm going to push his buttons. I'm going to say, you won't daven for me. You won't have me anymore. She knows that he loves him. He loves her tremendously. Right? He worked for 14 years, he worked for her. Right? So he knows how much she loves her. So he figures, how can I get into daven for me? I'll tell him, I'm going to be so depressed. I'm going to die of depression. That's right, what he says. She was wrong. Begin also because she was so terribly affected. She was, we would say, green with envy, but it was an envy of Kedusha. The Choshok, he Yaakov would start fasting. His whole life would become obsessed with davening for Rachel. Shedibra derech ga'aguay anoshim ahuvois la'avchid v'misosa chora apoy. What made him angry? He got angry, number one, that she thought that tefillah, that you have control over tefillah. You can do you get anything you want through tefillah. That's not the way it works. You pour a heart onto the davening, but there's no assurances. And then he got upset that she was mefatkut, that she lowered herself to speak like an immature person, like a woman who's noshim always, the women who are so loved by their husbands that they can get whatever they want. They'll find a way. The husband loves them so much that they know whatever they want they'll get from him somehow. She said that he was upset by that. He was upset that she lowered herself to that.
That's a bad thing.
Yeah. Is it terrible? No, it's a bad meter to.
Saying the shalom so much is that you shouldn't give into everything.
Say it again.
Saying the husband should love her so much, you just shouldn't give into it for everything. That,
no, it's a question of cheapening the love. That gugui nashim ahuba is alchidah misasa charab, and it cheapens the love. Of course, Yaakov wanted anything, that everything for Rachel, but you don't make use of love that way, right? Yaakov was in the same spot that Rachel was at. So Rachel should have appreciated that the love was so strong that Yaakov was there with her. But then to try to use the love in this way, so that's that cheapens the relationship. V'lachach omar lo she'ena b'mokim melekim she'yifgod ha'koreis al kol ponim ve'ena choyshesh b'dover ki mimena nimna pri abotin. See, that's why he says, I'm not God that I can make this, that I can give you children. Ve'enenu choyshesh b'dover. Now everybody explains it. He's saying, and you know what? I'm not so bothered by him. Ki mimenu nimna pri abotin. V'loi mimenu. How can he say such a thing? That was to give her some aggravation. Ulachlima, and to embarrass her. It could be yaser like Musar. I'm not sure. Well, yaser from Yisur or yaser from Musar. Ulachlima, and to embarrass her, to shame her. Minea tzedekes, perosa shaloi tuchal, liyesameich al tfilat Yaakov shabo, lisbalel al atzma, sorry, shava, lisbalel al atzma, el shemei atzaka. He wanted Rachel to feel alone and entirely dependent on her own tefillas. And Yaakov thought that when Rachel would know that she only can depend on her own tefillas, so that tefillah would be so powerful that the Kadosh Baruch Hu will listen to that tefillah. V'zeu v'yishma eileha elikim. And that's why it says, v'tomer Rachel d'na elikim v'gam shama b'koyli. Means he heard her tefillas and only her tefillas. What's that? So it says, so that's as long as Yaakov was davening, so Rachel thought, all right, she has two shots. She has her own tefillas and Yaakov's tefillas. So the moment you feel it's my tefillah and his tefillah, so my tefillah is not as powerful because I got two shots. If you know it's only my tefillah, that's what the many of the forshim. I heard this once from my Rebbe of Shalom Gold, now a Rebbe in Eretz Yisrael, in Harnov. But I heard this. That's when I heard it first. But I've seen others from now also that by Chana, when Chana davens, so the whole story of Chana is that she came to Shiloh every year. Every year she davened, right? So Vayi Hayom, Navi says, and we don't know exactly which, we don't know what year it was, but one year she came, and that year she, Kadosh Baruch Hu, what happened that year? What happened that year that was different than other years? Why do you think that year she, Kadosh Baruch Hu said, alright, now's the time? So he said, because what happened right before that? Right before that, he says to her, Elkanah says to Tachana, halo tov ani me'asara banim, right? Am I not better than 10 children? So, I may misquote the passage, but that's what he says. He says, am I not better than 10? When Elkanah says, am I not better than 10 children? So, Chana realized he doesn't really get it. Even though he's the best husband, and he took care of me, and there was Tzipor, and there was me, and he was always helping me out, he was giving me gift after gift after gift, and he saw my tzar. But if a husband says, am I not better than 10 children, he doesn't understand what it means for a mother to have a child. So when Chana realized that Elkanah didn't get it, so she realized it's only her tefillah, nobody else. So when a person realizes that it's only their tefillahs, that's a much more powerful tefillah. I had the opportunity to speak to Rabbi Feinstein. Shlitus, he told me it was about an issue of infertility. So he brought a couple to him that was having trouble to discuss a certain issue. So he said to me that his father, Reb Moshe, before he would try anything that was very, very creative medically, he would say, wait 6 months. In other words, try all the regular people in. And then, before one does something that's on the cutting edge of medicine, I don't want to go into details on what it was, that has to do with a certain shuvah Moshe. So he said, wait 6 months. And for 6 months, just out. For 6 months, don't. And again, you have to be careful. Depends what age a person's at. But the Bose Nakuna, Rav Moshe held that after a person feels that they've exhausted all medical approaches, so they're only telling the Kiddush Baruch Hu. So that tefillah is going to be such a powerful tefillah that maybe that tefillah will be answered without having to go do anything else. That's what the Ramban is saying over here. That's what Yaakov was doing. It looks like a chazarius, right? A cruel moment. So it says the Ramban, Yaakov was doing all of this, it was in order to push Rachel, so that Rachel will be aggravated with him. He'll say, he'll have a plate that's said, you're alone in this, he should know. I have children. So the Rachel should feel, he can't have in the way I'm now. I can only depend on my own feelings. But then once Rachel depends on her own tefillah, so you know what kind of tefillah is. Nobody else is davening for. That's like Yishmael. That's how powerful the davening was. But Yishmael the king. Mulain is Sakin al Dasha Bezenu. He said we have to explain Ki Yaakov Yev Shashli Spala Lisha Ahuva. Yaakori El Shudiskamu Tfilosai. Boss after Rachel is Oilalo. Lem Shiit Lopon al Koponim is Filosai. Ki Lenoi Filumi Yodim Sheosakin. It's impossible that that Yaakov wouldn't be davening for Rachel, because he was davening for Rachel. The Omer Nishma Tfilosei Shehu Tzadik V'Osa Liyoy Zazera. I will eat Nimna Mimena Pivit Minochenu. So he's saying, you have to understand, my father's tefillahs are not my tefillahs. The tefillahs of Yitzchak are much greater. But again, all of that is just. He says lesaking. What does he mean lesaking? He means lesaking that if we want to soften the edges of what's happening over here. Of course, Yaakov davened, and Yaakov knew that Yitzchak's tefillahs are more powerful tefillahs. But he is on one level upset with her that she cheapened the love that they had between them. And that's when he gets angry. And then he wants her to have this most powerful tefillah. End with three kakaras. Hari number one is that this idea of of yearning for something, ad kereikach, that creates a more powerful tefillah. So that is Yaakov Avinu. That's how the parsha begins. Yaakov Avinu, look at the Medrash carefully. Can't go into it right now, but look at the Medrash carefully. The Rashi quotes Yaakov Avinu skips over Yerushalayim and goes further. And Nosan Liboy came in the Nosan Liboy. He thought, I went by the base of it. I wouldn't daven. Right, Kad Yohav Levi is a Lashon. The Yaakov Moshe Chalap says, Kad Yohav Levi means you see that the moment he was focused, what he was missing, it was Mishtoike, there was a place where he could daven. And he didn't daven. He felt so terrible. To the extent that Kadosh Baruch Hu, he had such a powerful moment of tefillah, Kadosh Baruch Hu brought Yerushalayim to him. Kad Yohav Daite, a person who feels so at a loss by not having Yerushalayim, Kadosh Baruch Hu will bring Yerushalayim to him. So Yaakov understood from his own life the power of Ishtekis and Tfilah. The Ozra Rebbe, the Be'er Moshe, we quoted him with him a few weeks ago. See, he also has a very beautiful aura. He says, what is the point of having the Pasuk over here? According to Ramban, it said very well that this was establishing within the mindset of Klal Yisrael the power of davening, the power of tefillah. That Soif, Rachel's children come because she was a spell. At the end, that's what happened. Rabbi used to point out the very beginning of Ayetze is Yaakov was terribly lonely and terribly alone. Ayetze Yaakov Hashem v'yelach harona. Right? We often point out Vayifka v'makam v'yolon shav. You read those psukim. We all know from Yeshiva Ketana. We know every medrash on pasuk. Right? Vayifka v'makam v'yolon shav. Sunset. Every single thing is darshan. Why? Because the pasuk makes no sense. Right? What's the Torah telling us? Yaakov left. He came to find you. He came to a place. He went to sleep because the sun set. What's going on? Well, you write these things. You wouldn't write this in a for Kampan 1. You wouldn't write this. The person came and he went to sleep because the sun set. And he took stones and he made them into a pillow. So the Kodesh Baruch Hu was telling us how Yaakov, why he decided to turn in. Right? So that's why you have to darshan everything. The first time he slept in 14 years, it was Avtachas Eretz Yisrael. But the Rav explained, Api Pshutai, that the Torah wants to create a certain mood. That if a person finds futility in something, if a person hits a brick wall, and he finds it is that things are futile and things are meaningless and empty, so then everything becomes meaningless and simple and small. You want to describe a person who's depressed, so you don't talk about his visions and his dreams and where he's going. A person is depressed, he goes to sleep because it's dark outside, right? He doesn't wake up the next morning, he's depressed. He stays in bed for a long time. The person's depressed, he focuses on taking the pillow and putting it under his head. Well, because when a person is depressed, your life becomes so small and so bleak that's what life is. So the Torah wants to communicate to us that when Yaakov was thrown out of his father's house, after working so hard to get those brachos, he spent his whole life preparing to be the next of, and then he gets thrown out, and Esav gets to stay, his whole world caved in. Right? That's what described life at that time. That's the Rav explained. But the tefillah which Yaakov gave us, right, the tefillah of Mariv, that we were able to say in the darker times, right, the tefillah of Yaakov is the tefillah that Jews say b'shas golos, and the tefillah of Yaakov was the one that the Kodesh Baruch Hu responded to. He made it in Yerushalayim. He gave him Malach Elikim Olam B'Yerdim Shama. That was the tefillah that got him through the house of Laman. That got him through Shechem. That got him through Esav and brought him back to his father's house, Eretz Yisrael. But that was the tefillah when Yaakov was all alone. There was no one else to worry about. There's no Yitzchak, no Rivka, nothing. But that tefillah, when a person is able to realize that only a Kodesh Baruch can help him out, so that kind of tefillah is so powerful that it's able to. And that's the Yerusha that Yaakov gave us. You learn that at the beginning of the parsha. And when it comes to Rachel, he gave that to Rachel and made it part of the teva of Klal Yisrael. Okay, after stop. We have a minute quickly. There we go. I heard that, by the way. I don't know if I'm going to let go.